Chapter 11. Where is Rob Roy?
We travelled surrounded by armed soldiers. Rob Roy was on a horse tied with a horse belt to a very big, strong Scotsman called Ewan. When we were near the river, Rob Roy whispered to Ewan,
"It is sad to see a Scotsman who considers an English captain's orders more important than a friend's life."
In the middle of the river, I heard a splash and immediately understood. Rob Roy's words had convinced Ewan to free him and give him the chance to live. He had jumped off the horse into the water. The captain also heard the sound and guessed what had happened.
"You dogs,"
he cried,
"where is the prisoner? Go and look for him. I promise 100 guineas as a reward."
There was great confusion. Some soldiers tried to follow the fugitive into the water, but the force of the current carried them away. Others, who were more cautious, galloped along the river banks, shooting and shouting. Escape for Rob Roy was not difficult. He was an expert swimmer. At first, he was confused under the water, but then he freed himself from his plaid, swam away under the surface, and was soon out of view. The soldiers saw the plaid in the water and tried to catch it, but they soon gave up. In many places, the river was inaccessible because of the thick vegetation, and besides, it was getting dark, so it was not easy to see anything in the water. Most of them believed that Rob would not be able to survive the current and the freezing water. At last, the sound of a trumpet announced the retreat. Up to that moment, I had been a spectator, like someone watching a hunting scene at Osbaldiston Hall. But suddenly, I heard a voice call out,
"Where is the Englishman? He gave Rob Roy the knife to cut the belt. We must kill him."
And I realised then the danger of my situation. I jumped from my horse and ran into a wood where the darkness of the night protected my escape. I decided I had to try somehow to return to Aberfoyle. Eventually, I found my way back to the road. While I was walking, lost in my thoughts, a horseman approached me and asked me if the road was safe. I replied that it was not, and then noticed his companion. Both of them were wrapped in travelling cloaks, and the hood of the man's cloak hid his face. But his companion was not wearing a hood, only a small hat, and in the dark her figure seemed familiar. She addressed me in a familiar voice, saying my name. My blood froze in surprise. It was Diana Vernon's voice. But the man with her prevented any further conversation, saying in a commanding tone,
"Give him his property."
Diana gave me a small case and said,
"Rashleigh had to abandon your father's papers. Here they are. Now we must part forever. Farewell, dear Frank."
Then she galloped away with the unknown man. I was deeply sad, but I continued on my way. After a while, another voice addressed me.
"Good night, Mr. Osbaldiston."
There was no doubt. It was Rob Roy. He had escaped his enemies and had acquired a musket and other Highland weapons since his escape at the river. I welcomed him, and he asked me about the events of the preceding day. I told him about the ambush at the lake and the meeting with Diana Vernon. I was jealous and wanted to know the name of the man accompanying her. Did he know? Rob called him His Excellency, but he was so vague that I continued to ask myself, is he Diana's husband? Suddenly, three Highlanders appeared in front of us on the road and commanded us to stop. Rob said the word Gregarach, his name in Gaelic, and they cheered us. They were relieved to see that their chief was safe. We arrived at Aberfoyle together, where we met Jarvie, who was waiting for us. The following day, Rob Roy MacGregor accompanied us to Loch Lomond, where we could take a boat to Glasgow. As we rowed, he told me,
"We Highlanders are rude and ignorant. We are also violent and passionate, but we are not cruel. We are a persecuted generation. We do not want to go against the laws of the country, but people do not permit us to live in peace. So we must fight."
He then explained that Rashleigh had been obliged to give back my father's papers. He had gone to Stirling and informed the authorities that the Highlanders were preparing a rebellion against King George. While he was speaking, Helen and his two sons arrived.
"You are welcome,"
she said, looking at me and at the bailie.
"Excuse my previous rudeness. We live in bad times."
And she gave me a ring. It was one of Diana's rings, a farewell present, Helen said. A boat was waiting for us. We parted from Rob Roy with many manifestations of affection, while the bagpipes sounded their melancholy notes. He remained watching us for some time, standing on a rock at the side of the loch with his long gun, his tartan, and the single feather in his cap. Then he vanished.